Om Shanti. Better say it three times. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. It's become a tradition now to say Om Shanti three times. The self, Baba, Drama. And our topic for tonight is cooperation. And today, in the slogan, Baba said, with the power of cooperation, the impossible becomes possible. And you would have heard Daddy Janki tell the story many times of global cooperation and Global Cooperation House, and so many ways in which she's seen Baba's magic happen through the power of cooperation, and really the impossible become possible. When you start a project that's involving a huge amount of resources and you have this much in the bank, well, are you mad or what? But no, the power of faith, the power of cooperation makes everything possible. It's on a more personal level. We know that there are some times when we find that cooperation comes easily to us, right? Things seem to flow, whether it's with your own body, whether it's with the drama, whether it's with other people. Seems like everything happens easily. And then there are other times when it seems like the absolute opposite. Do you experience that? Right? Both things? I know I do. Sometimes everything's great, and sometimes it's as if things are not working and there's a lot of resistance. And I've understood for myself, of course, in London we work with a lot of people. You know, it's not just cooperating with one or two, but it's hundreds. Looking at my colleagues, my sisters. And actually, when we were discussing about, you know, this new charter of international functioning, and of course, many of you have heard about it, and it'll come out to the family about how we describe ourselves as a network of organizations of Brahma Kumaris in different countries. But somebody coined the phrase in between, we're really a network of sanskaras. And I like that very much. If you think about the BK family, we're a network of sanskaras. And all the sanskaras have to connect together in the right way. If you connect two wires properly, then the current will flow well and there's strength. But if you don't connect them in the right way, then there are sparks and there can even be a fire. So I think it's a good analogy. And so there are certain subtle attitudes that happen within us that create that power of cooperation, or the other way, or non-cooperation. And I think it's very important to understand those subtle attitudes, because we want to work in a way where we feel this cooperation from others. It feels good. It feels then that we're not alone, it feels that we're not struggling, we feel supported, and we feel a lot of flow of love at that moment. And really, when I think about it, according to my understanding, the real foundation of cooperation is definitely love. Love for the self, love for Baba, love for the drama, no matter what it's presenting to you. And love for the task. Love, enthusiasm for the task. Without love for a task, again, you won't gain cooperation. But as I say, you know, everything, of course, this is our understanding in Gyan. The self, the soul, I, the living being, I generate certain atmospheres around myself. And yes, we can all get into blame from time to time. Maybe we don't blame so much, more we, as Baba says, we make excuses or give reasons, right? So we can always get into the reasons as to why something's not happening. But ultimately, I have to see what is the atmosphere that I'm generating around me that's either setting up the flow of cooperation or setting up the resistance. So actually, before I carry on further, I'd like you to do a bit of work. And just turn to your neighbor and just ask yourselves the question, first one, then the other, what are the subtle attitudes that lead to cooperation around me, that generate that atmosphere of cooperation? Could you do that? Just talk to each other for just 5 minutes or so, because it's good to get ourselves churning in this direction. I don't want to do all the work. I want cooperation from all of you. Sorry. Yes, what are the subtle attitudes that lead to that power of cooperation? So the attitude, Baba tells us, our attitude creates an atmosphere, and then according to the atmosphere, others feel they can cooperate with us. So I'm not asking you to think about what are the factors that lead to the resistance, but on the positive side, what are the subtle attitudes in me that can create that atmosphere that will lead to that power of cooperation, that everybody's contribution is important and is valuable, no matter how big, no matter how small. And last night, we heard Daddy tell the story about the woman who came to Baba, who everybody had rejected throughout her life, and the compassion Baba had to welcome her into the yajna, and her Baba served that soul. And that's a very touching story. And there's a principle there. When somebody really works from their heart, then others from their heart wish to cooperate with them. It absolutely works. Honesty, love, that good vision for everyone. To be absolutely inclusive, let's take this up for a moment. How easy is it? It sounds lovely in theory, right? But how easy is it? I know myself that there is in my heart that feeling that, yes, I want to include everyone, I want to be with everyone, I want, you know, everyone to move ahead. But sometimes when we're working, particularly with a group of people, and I was having a conversation with somebody about this last night, actually. They were saying that in their center, there's somebody that they get on with very, very well, and they communicate with them very well. And, you know, it's a relationship where there's no sorrow. If we're together, it's great, and we have a good feeling, and we work well together, and there's a lot of love and cooperation. It's not that we're dependent. If we're not together, then we can manage on our own in that sense. But people sometimes feel that, oh, you know, the two of them are together, you know? And so we were talking about it, and I was saying that, you know, it's so easy to want to work with the people that you feel comfortable with. And I know in the past, and I don't know if there's still that feeling, but people have sometimes said to me, you know, well, you gravitate to so-and-so, but what about everybody else, you know? And, of course, I wanted to look at that in myself, because where you get on with someone, it's so easy to connect. And sometimes you don't realize how, in a way, you're subtly avoiding other people that you don't connect with so well. So you really, really need to watch that within yourself. And if, of course, it's so natural to go towards the people that we get on well with and we feel a flow of love with, but it's possible for there to be that feeling for everyone. And I really need to have a very big and very, very generous heart in this. Sometimes in our family, because people are a little bit different and perhaps think a little bit out of the box, or perhaps are a little bit socially not quite acceptable, or perhaps from a different background or whatever, it's subtly we begin to see that difference, or we begin to see them as different to us. And this creates a subtle energy of rejection, and it's very hard then to gain that cooperation and bring that person closer. There are practical things that we do, you know, and it could be things like, as I say, gravitating towards the people that we work with well, and then we don't include others. It could be that perhaps we speak in a different language because somebody shares the same language and forget that there are other people sitting there who don't share that language. It can be things like when there are gatherings, you include some and you don't include others. And when you're in a very big place, this is sometimes a difficulty. In London, if we want to include everybody, every time it'll be 300 people. So, you know, but okay, even if there's a gathering where a certain group of people may be getting together for a certain task or whatever, I always feel that it's better to communicate that something like that is happening than to hope that somebody isn't going to notice. Because whatever's happening in a family, people find out and people get to know. I'm not sort of going in any logical order, but I'm just taking up this thing of inclusiveness. And I can feel that sense of inclusiveness when I really feel that I belong to Baba, and Baba is for everyone, and I'm for everyone. And I need to create, for a sense of inclusiveness, I need to create a sense of belonging in the family. And I love this thing that I think Sue said about, no, or Rosemary, cooperation that's not asked for. You know, I know for myself, sometimes it's happened to me. Just today, just this morning, I was in a meeting and I was very, very overtired, actually. And Sister Jenty in the break, she said to me, "Go home, you know, go home. I'll get someone to pick you up." I said, "No, I'll carry on a bit more." She said, "You should go home." And then I carried on a bit more. Then after an hour, I did go home, and I really had, you know, sometimes I was thinking to myself, Baba has this phrase, you know, less expense and more splendor, you know, that saying. And I thought, we shouldn't change it into less sleep and more splendor, because it doesn't work. And I really hadn't had enough sleep. But, you know, it was just very sweet that someone came up to me and said, "Go home," you know. And, you know, I didn't ask for anything, but somebody was seeing my need and wanting to do something for me and point that out to me. Because sometimes we're not good at looking after ourselves, never mind looking after each other. But sometimes if I see somebody, I know where there's somebody with, now, should I use this word, difficult sanskaras? Is there anybody with difficult sanskaras? let's just say that they're different, whatever. And, you know, if you see that they're, how can I put it, it's quite easy to say, well, you know, they're not causing trouble at the moment, let me just leave them where they are. But what am I doing to bring that soul closer? What am I doing to reach out to that soul? And recently, it was a couple of months back, there's somebody in the class who kind of, they offer cooperation, but people kind of don't want to take that cooperation. You know, they have a feeling that they've got another agenda or there's a bit of ego or whatever. And I kept making a note for myself, I must speak to so-and-so, and somehow it wasn't happening. And I thought, I'm avoiding this. So then I especially made time to be with that person. And we had a very nice conversation, a very Gyani conversation. And I realized that that individual really needed sustenance. That individual just really needed somebody, like you say, lending the ear. You know, it sounded a bit like we're donating parts of our body, lend your ear, lend your heart. that person just wanted to have a conversation, wanted to be listened to, wanted to feel valued, and he was just so appreciative. And then from that, you know, it's been possible to find ways in which that soul can cooperate and begin to do things for Baba in the Yajna. So it just needs somehow, sometimes, overcoming a subtle barrier of where we feel a separation, or we see somebody is a little bit different. Okay, let them sit in their corner, they're not causing any trouble. But that's not good enough. And in reaching out, sometimes we have no idea how much it means to that person when everybody else seems to be rejecting them. And this is what Baba would do, of course. There's another story that Daddy tells of how there was somebody, a senior sister, who'd taken a decision. It was about purchasing a building or renting a building, can't remember which. And it didn't turn out to be such a good decision. It wasn't the best thing to do. And others were talking about it, oh, so-and-so did this and shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have done that. And then Baba said to the person who was talking, or whether it was to a group, but Baba used this phrase, Baba said, why do you all keep talking about this? Do you realize how much sorrow you're causing to my child? And so, okay, we know ourselves, if you made a mistake, if I made a mistake, there's enough sorrow in that, right? Just when you feel it's a mistake, and especially if you feel you've perhaps misused or wasted some resources of the yajna, you feel very bad about it, you know? There's enough punishment that you give to your own self. And then if others keep pointing it out to you and sort of, you know, pricking you about it, well, why should I cause that sorrow? Let me have that understanding, because, you know, the golden rule in religion, and it exists in all faiths, and it definitely exists for the Brahmin family, it's definitely a principle Baba's taught us, you know, let me do unto others what I would want them to do to me. Let me love others as myself. It's a principle within religion. It's a principle here. So these are all ways in which I can really generate that sense of love and cooperation by reaching out and having that very inclusive attitude. But for that, of course, I do need to create my own stage. Actually, just while we're on that thing of inclusiveness, just also such a big thing, which I know Dadiji did all the time, acknowledge people, say hello. Does it cost anything to say hello and to smile? Especially when there are new people in the class. I remember once somebody was, there was a new person in the class, and I saw an older Brahmin was sitting next to them. And somehow it caught my attention, and they didn't even say hello to the person, you know. So afterwards, I just gently said to the other Brahmin, I said, you know, did you realize there was a person in the class who'd come for the first time and, you know, they were sitting next to you? He said, well, yes. I said, you know, would it be nice perhaps to say hello? And this person said to me, oh, well, they would have got my vibrations. Great, yes, fine. But they would have got the vibrations a bit more if you'd said hello. We actually need to acknowledge. And I know that, you know, I tried to develop this habit of saying Om Shanti, saying hello. And when I was living in Tennyson Road, and, you know, I remember even at Amrit Vela, before Amrit Vela, if I saw someone, I'd say Om Shanti or good morning. And one time I was in the passage, Om Shanti, and this person said to me, why do you have to always say Om Shanti, even at 3:45 in the morning? I said, okay. And then another sister witnessed that exchange. And she came up to me later on, and she said, I know why you do that. I said, why? She said, because once you must have lived with someone who ignored you. And I thought about it, and I remembered, you know, I hadn't consciously remembered, but I remembered, yes, there was somebody who I did live with at one point for a little while, and they were like very yogi, let me put it that way, in the sense that they were very introverted in their own self, which is a good thing, but to the extent that it was as if nobody else existed. So you kind of felt like they're in one world and I'm in another world. And, you know, when somebody treats you in a certain way, and, you know, when I look back, I don't think that person had any bad motive whatsoever. You know, it was just the way they were at that time. I really don't think they had any bad motive. But, you know, when somebody treats you in a certain way, of course it can go one of two ways. Either you say, well, I'm going to treat other people like that. Or, of course, a spiritual perspective definitely is to say, well, let me behave in a way that others won't feel that from me. And that was what I consciously at some point must have decided to do. And I'm sure, you know, I've shared this before, but Dadiji, a few years before she left the body, and how many here didn't meet Dadiji? Curious. Few. Okay. Somebody asked her, Daddy, what is the effort that you're making now? Because our daddies, you know, they never think they've arrived. If you think you've arrived, well, you stop learning. And there's complacency that sets in. But asked her, Daddy, what is the effort that you're making at the moment? And she said, my effort is that let me think and speak and act in such a way that only blessings emerge from the hearts of others. Isn't that beautiful? It's a very, very elevated effort. Let me not do anything that's going to create anything other than love in the atmosphere. Let me not do anything that's going to set up any kind of resistance in the atmosphere. And, you know, Daddy, her mantra, yes, okay, everyone's good. And just as you see with Aviat Baba, and okay, this time Baba hasn't come to meet us in the corporeal form. We've all had the lovely invitation to meet Baba in the Aviat form. And I don't know about you, but I know, I think all the first timers are probably upstairs by now, so probably most sitting here have met Baba before. But I know when I've been away, and so I just come back in the afternoon of the 18th, and so I actually got into the hall just on 7 o'clock. And I tell you, I walked into that atmosphere, and it really was as if the same atmosphere as if Baba was there. Did anybody else feel that? I did feel it. I know for the first time it's a whole different story, but even then, I know many, many souls were so touched. I've gone off track, haven't I? What was I talking about? And Dadiji and this effort to gain blessings. So I need to fix such a stage. So it's about creating a stage within myself that is so loving and is so giving and is so yogyukt that others feel that they belong and they really feel a loving presence, and there's a natural desire that arises in their hearts for cooperation. Is that okay? Is that better? Connected with this subject of cooperation, I think, is very much connected with the whole subject of bhavna. And Daddy's been, I think, if there's been one theme through the sort of NCCC meeting and other classes, it's been this theme of bhavna, these very deep feelings of, and pure feelings of faith, deep, pure, good feelings. And when we were in London this time, Santosh Didi from Mumbai, who's now looking after the Mumbai and Andhra Pradesh zone, we were talking with her at one point. She was visiting for a week or so, and we said to her, you lived with Daddy for 8 or 10 years, and we've lived with Daddy for 25 years, 30 years. And look at your stage, look at our stage. And of course she's, very senior member of the Yajna. And she just said, all the times I lived with Daddy, I fully used Daddy's bhavna for me. And this is a subject that Daddy was taking up, using the bhavna, the deep feelings that Baba and the seniors have for us. And if we learn how to do that and we really tune into that, this is what can really help us in a very fast track way to create a very elevated stage for ourselves. It's a very, very important subject. And sometimes we misunderstand, not so much perhaps what Baba says to us, although in the Sakam release sometimes we can misunderstand. We can misunderstand what the Daddies are saying to us. We can sometimes feel that we're being corrected because we're not tuning in to that deep bhavna that they have for us. And that's because I myself am still a little gross in my own stage. There are still the sanskaras of body consciousness working in me. And so there's still some degree of expectation that I have from the seniors, and that will mean from others too. I received, when we're in Madhubam, we receive blessings, and I think I've blessing cards, and I always keep them and then give them away when I get home. And I must have accumulated at least a dozen by now over the last 2 or 3 weeks. But there's one blessing card that I got a couple of days ago that I'm not going to give to anybody. Oh, well, maybe now I've said it, I should give it. Keep it in my heart. But it was very meaningful. It said, a blessing means that you have to do it, right? Not necessarily that you already have it. You have the maturity to be beyond expectations. or let go of expectations, and the love to keep on giving. When we really can be mature enough in our stage to have that sense of contentment within, where we're not needing that recognition, even in a subtle way, that's the point at which we can really, really give. Up until that point, there will be some percentage in our ability to give and our ability to gain cooperation, consequently. Because the more you give, the more will come back to you. And using the bhavana that the seniors have, I was thinking, what are the steps to that, you know? And I think the first thing is, really, I need to deeply love myself. I remember once Daddy being asked, who do you love most in the world? And the answer was, myself. And it wasn't about ego, it wasn't being self-serving. She truly has that recognition of who she is, what Baba has made her, and the part that Baba wishes her to play. She knows her part so well. And she has the total, even confidence is too small a word, but the, don't know what word to use, the courage and the wisdom to play that part. When she came back after having those few days with Daddy Gulzar, I said to Daddy, Daddy, you know so well what you need to do. You dropped everything here and you went to be with Daddy because you knew that was the need of the time, that was the priority. And you didn't think about what others said, you knew that's what you had to do. And today, that's what Daddy's done again. She's gone to Ahmedabad, she knows the need. She knows that the company that she can give to Daddy Gulzar, nobody else can give. Who else is her peer? You know, when you're in and you're sick or you're vulnerable in any way, not that she's needy in that sense, she's Daddy, but still, you know, we're human, aren't we? Or divinely human. But you know that you want to be with someone who can really, really support you. And so it's so beautiful that, you know, from yesterday she said, okay, when can I have leave to go and go be with Daddy? And so she's seen the slot and she's gone. And so I was asking Praveena or Jintaben, when is Daddy going to come back? It's not fixed yet. Let's see the drama. So, yes, this love for the self. And so because of that, I've seen that Daddy uses the bhavana Baba has for her. Have you witnessed, you must have witnessed when she's opened her glasses case? Have you seen that? Yes? And she's got all these little bits of paper in there. And they've got all the blessings Baba's given her recently through Daddy's messages. Who's seen that? Only a few. You've seen it. Every so often, she'll gather us together, and she did this a couple of weeks ago and downstairs, and we thought, you know, well, she's going to tell us, give us some, you know, something we need to know, and bring my glasses case. And she opens it up, and she's it's so sweet, it's really sweet. She takes out, it's a little bundle and a little cloth, and she opens this little cloth like it's diamonds, it's treasure, it's, and it is more than. And she says, little scraps of paper. And she says, okay, now on this date Baba said this to me, on this date Baba said this to me. And she reads it all one by one. But what is so touching is that for her it's nectar. For her, she uses every single word as a way of confirming her elevated stage. She hangs on every word, and it gives her strength, it gives her power, it gives her wisdom, it gives her an understanding of what she needs to do. And sometimes we hear, now if I look back, and of course I've had that fortune to have many personal meetings with Baba, and I know not many in that room have had that fortune. And when I look back, now, after 30 years, 25 years, so slow, you know, I'm beginning to understand what it is Baba said to me. I'm beginning to use it. And I didn't, I thought I understood, but I didn't. I didn't actually have enough love for myself, if I'm truthful about it. And like there's something, and I've probably shared this, something that Baba said to me, how many years ago, I don't know, in the 80s it would have been so. And Baba said, you know, give all your worries to Baba, because when you worry, the success that should emerge doesn't emerge. And this time, this year, I really, really use that blessing. And surprise, surprise, it worked. But how long it took, you know, to really use it with total faith. But of course, one of the personal blessings, the other is what Baba says to us in the Murali. And how much do we take it with that total faith and use it practically? And we all have been with the daddies and have heard what they've said to us in a small group, personally. And how much do I kind of feel, oh, I've done something wrong? Or how much do I feel this is being told to me because if I believe it, I have faith in it, and I use it, it's going to elevate my stage and create in me that stage where I fulfill Baba's hopes completely. So using Bhavna is a big subject. Love for the self, faith in the self, and listening with an open and loving heart and mind. Because if I create a resistance to what Baba and the daddies are telling me, I won't catch the feelings, and I won't be able to transform my own feelings within. There'll be a resistance, and my own negative sanskars and the traces of my own body conscious sanskars will still have some fuel to keep working. But if I listen with an open heart and a loving heart, then there's no resistance, and those feelings will penetrate my feelings, and my feelings will change, and they'll become pure. And then of course my body conscious sanskars will not have any root, will not have any more power with which to work and with which to express themselves. So I need to take the Bhavna into that extent. And then I won't be doing things out of my own needs and my own expectations, but I'll really be doing things out of a deep Bhavna to serve others. If I'm needy, how much can I give? You know, I think it was Charles Handy who said, people fall into two categories, radiators or drains. I don't know if that works in another language, but you know that. Either people drain your energy or they radiate and give you energy. If you're needy, you're not going to generate energy. So these are some of the subtle things that I need to do inside to set up that loving atmosphere where I will gain those blessings from the hearts of others, and I will be able to generate that cooperation around me. Actually, I see that it's 6 minutes to six, seven, and we need to do yoga. But any quick questions, one or two questions, lots more to say, but It's a big, vast subject, isn't it? Inner, outer, you know? What subtly I'm doing in myself is going to affect everything around me. And drama becomes my friend. When I'm my own friend, not only is Baba my friend, drama's my friend. If you truly let go of something, and letting go means you don't think about it anymore. It's not that you let go in the sense that you say, well, I'm letting go and then let's see if they, you know, really catch my vibration. It's not letting go at all. If you say, well, I'm letting go because they're not ready, that's not letting go. Or I'm letting go because, well, they're not at my level, that's not letting go. That's arrogance. When I really let go, I say, okay, not mine. Let's see the drama. I'm not going to give it any more thought. And then if really my idea was the right one, it'll emerge. And if it wasn't, it won't. But at least let me feel happy within myself. Because when I'm still resisting, whether it turns out my way or not, I'm not going to feel happy. And even if others do it my way, it'll be with a resistance. It won't be with love. And so I won't be gaining the blessings from that. You know, we do live on Baba's blessings and the blessings of the family. I really, really feel that. And if I'm not getting those blessings, then it's not easy for me to have that deep happiness in my life. And so I think all the things that we've been speaking about, and we know that, you know, humility was mentioned, so much comes down to our ego, our lovely, lovely ego that really doesn't let go of us. But I don't let go of it. Do I still need to be something, be someone? It's so subtle. It's so subtle to let go of noticing what others are doing, what I'm doing. Subtle comparison. Where somebody's sitting and where I'm sitting. The attention someone's getting, the attention I'm getting. Da 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 da. We have to be really honest with ourselves. I was having a conversation with Charlie a little while ago, and he was talking about this and saying, you know, so much comes down to our discomfort, so often comes down to subtle, subtle jealousy and comparison that we don't recognize and we don't admit in ourselves. And I was just saying to Daddy that, you know, when Baba came, or, you know, on the 18th, I still like to think of it as the time when Baba came, in a way, because it was something very special. And Daddy Gulzar just shared a few minutes' message. It's so lovely. And when Baba said that Baba is the companion of the children, and whatever you desire you have, Baba will fulfill that. So that touched me. The next morning at Amrit Vela, I said to Baba, you know, whatever is the subtle barrier in me that's preventing me from, you know, or preventing Baba from using me as a full instrument, this is now my deep desire to remove that barrier. So I told this to Daddy, and Daddy said, do you know what the barrier is? So I nodded, because I know, and I think we all know when we look inside. And she just said, with realization, it'll go. And that was very comforting. And so we don't want to ask Baba for a new center or a good service companion, or but we want to ask Baba, what is my deep desire, or really my deep bhavna for myself, so that I can move to the next stage that Baba wants of me? Because really, now is the time. I think many of us are feeling we're moving into a different phase. And, you know, time is short. And this is what we need to do. Service will always run after us. Don't worry about that. But this is what we need. to do deeply within. So this is time, it's a fantastic time, a glorious time, a wonderful time to be Baba's child, and a time when all the opportunities are open to us. It's up to us to have enough love for ourselves to do it and to be what Baba wants us to be. Okay, Om Shanti.